This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Andrei Boychuk. Andrei and his family moved to the U.S. in 2004. Before launching Flowium, Andrei spent 9 years working in corporate America, advancing from a junior position to senior project manager at the Clariant Group. He focused on designing integrated smart building design solutions. In 2017, he created Flowium to help businesses realize the full potential of email marketing. Since then, he's pioneered strategies to translate a strong customer retention ground game into stable revenue growth. Thanks so much for being here today, Andrei.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm thrilled to have you here. I love talking about email marketing, but it's been a long time since I've had a conversation with someone about it. And so I'm curious about how is it still working as effectively as it was before? I'm really going to say for small business, right? Is this still an effective means of marketing?
The quick answer, yes, it is. And actually, with years and with the latest updates in the market, it's becoming more and more valuable because you are owning the data. You're owning the contact information of your customer or your prospect, and you are able to market to them on your own terms, and nobody dictates the rules for you.
Oh, interesting. So let's talk about what the elements are of a successful email marketing campaign.
Sure. I mean, if you're a small business and you're just getting started, the basic rule, listen, just send out those either monthly or weekly campaigns, just do it. But if we're talking seriously, like when you start, you grow in your business and you want to have proper email marketing, email marketing consists of two parts. So automatic emails, which is triggered emails, meaning somebody opted in for your newsletter or somebody browsed your website and checked your pricing page or somebody requested a quote. There's a sequence of email that needs to be sent out to your prospect. And the second part of email marketing is constant creation of newsletter promo campaigns that you're sending manually to your customers. And the best practice is to segment your list so you are personalizing your message. The quick example, let's say somebody use your promo code to buy something for Black Friday, Cyber Monday. So you don't want to send them again the same promo code and tell them, hey, buy. So the easiest example is like to segment your buyer versus non-buyer and talk and send them different campaigns.
Can that segmentation be done automatically, or is it something the person has to go in and do?
They have to go and do it first time.
Okay.
And then the system, whatever is software they use, will update automatically. Let's say if they set up that segment first time saying, hey, anybody who purchased in November, put them in this segment. So moving forward, that segment will be dynamic and updating as it goes.
I see. Okay. How does email marketing fit in with, like, if someone's listening, they're thinking, okay, well, you know, I'm using social media and it's successful. How should they be connecting email marketing to make that part of that marketing strategy?
Sure. So social media, it's more about awareness. I mean, sometimes works as a conversion channel as well, but like probably what, 90% it's awareness. You letting people know that you exist, your product exists, your service exists, and you are producing content so people find out about you. Email marketing is more about conversion, that first conversion, and then in future retention. So I'm not saying, I don't think anybody would say, like, stop doing social media and start doing email marketing. You need to do the combination of both. When you're starting your business, of course, it's better to focus on the awareness stage, so more people will know about you. You need to prospect. You need to work hard to get those first clients. But when you already start getting some tractions, then you need to start working on email marketing because it's the next channel.
Okay, so this sounds to me like one of the most valuable parts of email marketing is that it gives you the opportunity to continue to engage with, right, with the people in your, either our customers or are paying attention to your brand.
Yes, and I mean, if we look closer, different people will have different journeys. So somebody who just interested, maybe they downloaded your ebook, or if you are e-commerce, they downloaded, get it the 10% off, and maybe they are not your customer. So they will go through before becoming customer journey. So you will nurture them differently versus somebody who is your client already, or who purchased from you, or who bought your service. You need to communicate with them differently. It's more about keep in touch with them and converting those customers into advocates so they can promote you. They can refer clients to you as well.
Okay, I get that. That makes sense. Do you think there's particular industries that get more out of email marketing than other industries, or does it really not matter?
It does not really matter, but there are some industries very saturated with email marketing, let's say e-commerce. There's almost every store, online store, even if you're just starting out, like email marketing is must. Versus some other industries, let's say non-for-profit, they don't do much of email marketing, but it's extremely, extremely beneficial for them and lucrative to do email marketing. I'm volunteering for one organization and we do pro bono email marketing for them. And we see that 50% of their donations coming from email marketing. So it's a lot.
Wow.
And the other, like in B2B space, I see a lot of businesses neglect email marketing. But when you're in B2B, you typically sell something for $5,000, $20,000, $30,000. People don't buy just from one email. But if you nurture them over 6 months, 1 year or so, or more, sooner or later, they will schedule a call with you or request a call from you. I mean, we are an email marketing agency and we B2B in B2B space, and we see this all the time. Sometimes people on our list for a year or two before they schedule a call with us.
I've had that experience as well. I totally get what you're saying, because they get the opportunity to get to know you, trust you, realize that you know what you're talking about, right? You resonate with them, and then they reach out and they want to do business with you.
Sure. One example, one client we closed like 3 years ago, and I was just curious why he signed up with us, because we were competing with another agency who was bidding on the same project. And he said, I stayed on your newsletter for some time, since you are email marketing agency and you will be doing email marketing for me. I noticed that you are sending me weekly newsletter and you produce a lot of content on YouTube, so you're up to date with the industry trends and like trends. While other agency did not send him any newsletter, and this is how we won that project. And for the last 3 years, we are working with that client, so it's very lucrative channel.
Right. Yeah, I get it. Let's talk about trends that you're seeing with email marketing and what people should be keeping an eye on or, you know, watching out for. What do you see going on?
Sure. So it was not sure when you will be featuring this episode, but like this month, December 2023, Google and Yahoo release the new updates. So they will have a stricter rules to get into people's inboxes. So it's not only about sending beautiful emails. Now you need to have a technical expertise to set up your software correctly. You need to set up your domain correctly. So you need to have a good sending score to get into people's inboxes and not spam. Just to put it in simpler terms, Yahoo and Gmail updated their algorithm, so it would be harder and harder now to get into people's inboxes. So this is the biggest trend that people who don't know what they are doing,
yeah,
will see less result from email marketing. So this is one of the biggest trends right now. And the segmentation and personalization, it's not even a trend anymore. It's a must. But I see so many brands don't do it. The example I gave you earlier, if you send me a campaign to ask to buy something, and if I purchase, I don't want to receive the same email again, or I don't want you to ask me again to buy something what I purchased. So personalization and segmentation is like another big thing that continue to be trend for the last probably 3 years.
Yeah, boy, those are great. I had no idea that they were doing that with email. So people really need to know what they're doing. I thought you said something about like a sender score.
Yes.
What
so sender
that?
Scores. Yeah, it's like your credit score, you know, like in US you have a credit score, like if you get into a bank and they check your credit score to either give you a loan or not. Same thing with the sender scores. So when you're sending emails, that your open rate, your click-through rate, it's not just like it's not only statistic for you. This is statistic that Gmail, Yahoo, and AOL, big inbox providers, they track and they give you their own score, which it's kind of not available to you. But based on that score, it's more, if higher the score, more likely you get into their inboxes. So the basic rule right now, you need to set up the dedicated sending domain, which means when you send your, let's say if you use MailChimp, because it's one of the most common software people use in small businesses, when you send email from MailChimp, it will say your company name and like VIA, MailChimp, and some like weird letters. So it means they use shared domain. They don't use your domain, your website domain, but they use MailChimp shared domain. And Yahoo and Gmail said, we will not we will stop accepting those domains.
Wow.
So now what you need to do is go to into your domain hosting and set up those name records. So when they receive it, there's no this like via and like weird domain.
Right.
I know it sounds a little bit, even complicated for me. We have a team who does it. But if you check videos, you will probably will be able to set it up for yourself. But this is must.
Wow. Okay. I was going to ask, too, how someone finds out what their sender score is, but you said you can't. We can't. We don't know what ours is. They know.
Yes.
Huh. Okay. Talk to us some about storytelling and the role that that plays in crafting engaging email campaigns. What does that look like?
So in the past, since there were less competition in the inbox, in the email marketing space, you could have your storytelling to tell people's story over a few emails. Right now, it's extremely saturated and people cannot sometimes might not connect two emails together. It's better to have one story per email. I'm not saying to write an essay, but one email you can dedicate about your mission, your business mission, or your client success story. But this is must. I see a lot of brands do beautiful email and just buy, shop, schedule call, and they are so transactional. And I personally don't see the accounts I'm checking, the accounts we're working with, when they start working with us, we see dramatic difference when we convert those like kind of very transactional emails into adding some story to the email, like why they should buy, why they should care, what is this special about this brand or so special about this product. And we see, I cannot tell you the numbers, I need to check, but we see positive results when we add the story to emails.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. There's got to be something that connects for people, right? Or they're just not going to open them anymore. And that goes to the subject line as well, right? I mean, it's got to be compelling enough that. So are there rules around that?
The basic rules, like do not use spam words. And there's a lot of spam words. You can just Google list of them. It's something like free, urgent, discount. You can sometimes use them, but like don't use with every email you send discount or free or like free money or like a lot of money. Like, you know, those spammy.
Oh, yeah.
Spammy word that like add either urgency or some kind of like free stuff.
Yeah.
So you can check that for spam words. Anytime you mention person first name in the subject line, it always gets very better results than any other subject line. You can test in your industry, but as Dale Carnegie said, the nicest thing you can hear, it's your name when somebody is saying out loud your name. So I think the same logic works with email. Another test thing you can do, open your either cell phone, mail app on your cell phone, or go to your inbox and just like browse all the subject line you receive and look which one standing out for you and analyze why is standing out for you. Because if it stands out for you, it might stand out for your customers as well. So analyze and try to use it for your campaigns. As an example, for the organization I'm volunteering for, it's a Ukrainian organization, and I'm originally from Ukraine. So what we use, we always put Ukrainian flag emoji for all subject lines. So we always stand out from all other subject line, and it's easy to recognize a Ukrainian flag in that subject line. So this is kind of it's not branded because it's a flag, but it's a technique we use for this particular organization.
So I love that idea. That makes so much sense to me. Not just the personalization of it, you know, so it stands out, but looking at going through your inbox and looking at things that either catch your attention, you know, what are you opening? That, because if it's catching your attention, you know, it's potentially going to catch other people's. That's really, I like that a lot. That is great. This is really, so if someone's listening and they haven't been using email marketing, what advice would you give them? Like, you know, how the first thing they should do to get started with it?
Sure. So, I mean, the basic, you just go to, by the way, I'm not affiliated. It just, I know that people use MailChimp all the time. I personally don't use and I don't like it, but this is probably the easiest where you can start. Get the MailChimp account that's free up to, I believe, 2,000 email subscribers. So open the account. It's easy. You can do it in less than 5 minutes, probably. If you have a website, add, sign up in your footer, or add the pop-up form on your website. And don't be fancy with the design. It can be very simple. Please leave me your name and email and put something like newsletter on, and tell them what kind of newsletter they will receive and how often, like every week or every month we are sending newsletter. So as I said, step number one, open the account. Step number two, add forms to your website so people can start to opt in. And number three is to at least send one email to your audience a month, one email a month. Even if you have only three people on your list, still do it. This must be as a, like, you know, operation procedure in your company. Just continue doing, your list will be growing. Ask people to sign up for your list and you will start to see positive result after some time.
Those are great. Thank you. Andre, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this information with the listeners. Will you let them know how they can find you, please?
Sure. The best way is to find through our website. That's flowium.com. It's flowium.com. Or also my first and last name on LinkedIn. I guess it will be in this podcast episode notes. So yes. You can find me on LinkedIn as well. I'm very active there.
Great. Wonderful. Like I said, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. And then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.